Welcome to the Faith Element Podcast for the March 10, 2024 session, focusing on Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3 and 17 through 22, Communal Healing. I'm David Cassidy.
I'm Nikki Hardiman.
I'm Crystal Shepherd.
And I'm Daniel Glaze.
Across time, inevitably, it feels like we find ourselves part of different communities. I think back to even my childhood friends that we used to gather and play tag football in the lot next to the house. And I wonder sometimes, where are they now and what's going on in their lives? And there have been so many communities that I feel like I've been part of across the years. So I wonder for you, is there a particular community that you've been part of or currently are part of that you really love and treasure?
Than this group, I love and treasure. But since that is obvious, there were a group of women that I started and finished seminary with, almost all of them. One decided to have kids in the middle, so it took her a couple more years. And we call ourselves the Mac Mamas. And we, most of us, still stay in touch and video chat once a month. And it is a group. We have walked through marriages and baby having and divorces and parent deaths and children deaths and all of that together and done a lot of life together. And they are some of the most special women on this earth to me.
Mm.
They're special people.
I'm glad you have that group, mm-hmm. Nikki. Yeah, I was going to say too, other than this group, because we were doing Zoom before Zoom was cool.
This is sweet work.
Because I've often joked, we have a really great relationship, this podcast group, and we've all been in the same room together only a handful of times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Two or three, maybe. All of us together, that is. Other than that, I used to be a pastor in North Carolina in a small town in a largely rural area. And I had a small group of minister friends. We still get together and tell jokes over text threads, and it's fun, even though we've all moved on to different areas. And they were, for me, a group of pastors in some neighboring towns, and we got together once a month for lunch. And gosh, they were a lifeline for me. All moving to this area, we were all a little bit isolated, but getting together. It was the kind of group that when it would pop up on your calendar, you thought, gosh, I don't have time to get together for lunch, to drive 30 minutes or an hour. But every time you did, you thought, that was exactly what I needed to do today. Mm-hmm. It was that kind of gathering. And we're great friends today.
That's great.
I'll echo what everyone else said about this group. Even though I came in late in the game, you guys like welcomed me in with open arms. And so you've come to be some of my most trusted and favorite people on the planet. I'm grateful for you all. So this community is definitely one of those. But I would have to say I've had a couple of different communities that have meant a lot to me. But one in particular actually is a church out of Louisville, Highland Baptist Church, when I was ready to give up on church and not go back ever again. Highland came into my life. I happened to move a block down the road from Highland in the Highlands. And my now husband, we were dating at the time, and he said, let's find a church together. And I was like, I don't know. And we went to Highland and visited, and then visited some other churches. And then I saw a article by the pastor of the church at the time in the Leo, which was the Louisville Eccentric Observer. And I thought, if he can write in that, then I can go to this church. And so I gave it a try. And what I found was this beautiful community of faith that gave me space to live into my questions, to be who I was created to be. And even though churches aren't perfect, they can be messy, but they did the messiness together so well and asked the questions so well that it was really difficult when we left Louisville to leave Highland. And we actually, right before the pandemic, went back and rejoined. Even though we don't attend, we just attend on services online. That has been probably one of the most meaningful communities in my life that I have ever experienced.
Thank y'all for sharing all those. I would also say this podcast, except I dread it every time before we, no. Kidding, just kidding. No, it is a special group. And I think part of it is as I've heard you describe with the groups you've talked about, is there is a certain discipline to getting together that pays off. For me, and I may have mentioned this group before, but I got invited to join a breakfast group when I lived in Georgia that it actually formed out of a group of guys who were part of putting on we did a live nativity at our church every year at an outdoor amphitheater. And it was a wacky approach to it. But anyway, after doing rehearsals and setup and all that stuff, we'd go out for breakfast. And so it turned into a regular thing. And so every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, this group of five guys would show up at Waffle House and make trouble. And we did it over years where we would meet together. They still meet. I was the mean one and moved away, but thankfully they've let me stay a member of their Facebook group. So I still see the jokes, some of them. I hope for all our listeners, you have a special group you can remember, and hopefully the one you're still very excited to be part of. They do enrich our lives in such deep ways. We have a text today that maybe will help us continue this conversation. Daniel, will you help us get started?
I'll be glad to. So several weeks ago on this podcast, our leader, David Cassidy, was taking a break for a couple episodes in order to have some snuggles with his beautiful newborn granddaughter. At least that's the excuse he gave us. If he was lying, God's going to pop the elastic in all his jockey shorts. Anyway, on one of these episodes, David Adams was offering the introduction to the text we were studying, and he said something that has stuck with me since he first uttered it. I probably won't quote him exactly, but David said, "We hear God's word differently when we hear it shared through the voice of someone who is oppressed or poor or suffering. We hear God's word differently when we hear it shared through the voice of someone who is oppressed or poor or suffering. That is, the same scripture passage sounds quite different to us when it's proclaimed from the marble pulpit of a grand sanctuary than it does in the basement of an AA meeting. Not better or worse or right or wrong, but different, importantly different, crucially different." I've often told you before about the first church I served after seminary, First Baptist Church of Frankfort, Kentucky. This was a wonderful downtown church right on the banks of the Kentucky River. It was a historic congregation with a heart for the homeless of downtown Frankfort, as well as the poor of nearby Appalachia. As often happens with downtown churches, people who lived on the streets often walked into our church building looking for a bathroom, water fountain, or a bite to eat. One weekday morning, a group of local ministers was gathering in the fellowship hall just before a meeting. I forget the purpose of the meeting, but it was probably some civic purpose. Anyway, to pass the time, this group of local pastors was drinking coffee and asking one another what they were preaching the upcoming Sunday. I happened to overhear the conversation, and one local minister mentioned he was preaching on the lectionary gospel reading about Jesus feeding the 5,000. He was going to preach about how Jesus is the bread of life and how life with God is always abundant and how with God there's always enough. Unbeknownst to us, a homeless man wandered in and made his way into our group. He had grabbed a cup of coffee and a donut. He exclaimed, "You could just preach that Jesus wants us to feed hungry people, but what do I know?" And he turned around and walked out. We hear God's word differently from the perspective of those who are suffering. We also hear God's word differently from within the perspective of community. We've talked before that a common yet valid criticism of the Western form of Christianity that most of us are familiar with and were raised in is far too individualistic. Bible study or devotional is a personal quiet time. Jesus is our personal Lord and Savior. We even use that exact language. We talk about salvation in a God and me kind of way, to the point of thinking about communal salvation as a foreign concept. We can't even conceptualize communal salvation. What does it mean for God to save us, our land, our church, our world, rather than simply our souls? But if we stop and think about it, We come to faith not on our own, but in community. We learn about the beauty of God's love not on our own, but in community, through others. We learn what God is like, what love is like, in community. As I'm saying these words, you may be picturing faces. Faces of people in your church or the church you grew up in. That's what I'm talking about. This beautiful idea of community is one reason why we do this podcast. To give you a model of the faithful studying of Scripture and then having a lively conversation, not on our own, but within a trusted community where we disagree, push back within a trusted community. This, I believe, is consistent with the biblical witness. Psalm 107 is a psalm about community. Psalm 107 gives us a picture not of an individual in distress, but of a people, a community in distress, crying out to God. And God answers them, all of them. The author of this psalm envisions a happy scene of many people from all over. Verse 3, gathered in from east and west, north and south, from all over, giving thanks because God is so good, because God's steadfast love endures forever. God's deliverance lasts forever. God's salvation lasts forever. And it's not just for me, it's for us. It's communal, it's collective, it's for the world. This is a good psalm for us to read as we are journeying through Lent. Yes, Lent is a season of somber introspection and reflection, but we make a mistake when we think it's a solitary task. Because, friends, we do this hard work together. We travel this path together. We do not travel alone. Not only do we travel together as a family, as a community of faith, but the God who calls us to follow along this Lenten path promises to walk with us each and every step of the way. And it just might save us. It just might save us all. And that's a little background on our text for today.
So I'm going to take a moment to be really transparent here. It's hard, but necessary to hear what you said, Daniel. I personally come from a place of church harming when it should have helped. And so I think community and a lot of my clients that I've had have been in that position. And community is scary and it's hard to trust. But I love what you talked about, this communal salvation, this being in community saves us all. And it's helping me to shift a perspective of it's okay to step out and trust. It's okay to attempt that in that community because God is in that. God is there with us. So I really appreciate what you said because it's offering a different perspective than I probably would have come at, because community can be so, like I said in when we had the question at the beginning, community can be messy and it can be scary and there's differing opinions and there's all this stuff that divides us. But gosh, if we can just come together and drop those pretenses and just be in community and find that love and that safe space there, I do see how that could save us. I do see how God is at work in that. So thank you for that introduction, because I don't know that I would have necessarily immediately picked that out of the psalm.
Okay, so thank you for that. And thank you for that good corrective lens, because you're absolutely correct. As much as I extol the virtues of community, can be messy and harmful and, let's be honest, abusive. And we give him a hard time sometimes, but let's give him credit. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is also, there are times when he says sometimes we need to break fellowship.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There are times when it is right and righteous to break fellowship. But it is, and so I'm, and it's not even a but, and it is also true that community can be good and healing and restorative and beautiful. I think even still, for all the faults and foibles of community, I think it's still what we were created for. To be people of faith together.
As I'm listening to y'all talk, I'm trying to sort all of the places that I would want to enter this conversation. Because, yes, absolutely, Crystal, what you said, community is hard and messy and whew, sometimes it can hurt. And so I'll just say, I am trying to recognize right now, like listening to Crystal's kind of corrective lens and listening to what Daniel put out there and how much I agree with all of that. And I know that I begin at a place where when I read scripture, wherever I'm reading through, I understand, this is my understanding, is that no one is saved until we are all saved. And I read that in scripture, and that is how I understand what God means by community. That in reality, we might think we are, but until everybody is saved, no one is saved. And when, by coming to understand that, I'll speak in myself, because I think this is very nuanced, that I realized that everybody had to be able to come to the table, and everybody at the table had to welcome everyone else to the table. That is the goal. That is the aim. That is what we are headed toward. And I don't know what I do with that. I put that out there, and then I find myself going, okay, but what happens when people at the table deny the humanity of other people at the table? What do we do with that?
Do we just add another leaf to the table? That's what, when just you were talking about that, just keep adding another leaf. So we can just, everybody's welcome at the table. We just put like these people here down here and these people. That's how you do like at a family get together, right?
Don't sit so-and-so next to each other.
Yeah, exactly. I'm joking. But I do like that perspective, Nikki, that it's, that we... how you said it, that no one is saved until we're all, we're not saved until everyone is, I don't know how you said it, but
until everyone is saved.
Yes, thank you.
But also you can say no one is saved until we're all saved. It both works.
It works together. I do like that perspective, because when you were saying it, this light bulb went off and I was like, oh, Jesus talks about leaving the 99 to go get the one.
The one.
And the good shepherd says, there are many that aren't of this flock, but I'm bringing them into the fold. Uh-huh. And I'm like, that's it. That's it right there. Like I'm getting goosebumps, because I'm like, oh, okay. That makes sense. Okay. Community. We're all coming into that fold. That sheep's pen.
Yes.
And it's really that simple. And yet we make it so hard.
And when I know that, then I change my behavior to make sure there's room for everyone. Mm-hmm. And to me, the healing that so needs to happen in the Christian church is for people to see that's what we're headed for. Mm. It's to see that we are headed, that our way to grow and to become more faithful is to continually open our arms and make more room.
So I want to, again, confuse things even more, because I think probably when we talk about community, we think about it perhaps in a bit different way than someone maybe 200 years ago or 400 years ago or 1,000 years ago might have thought. Because think about it. Community for people for most of human history have been those who they lived geographically nearby. Mm-hmm. Probably a lot of extended family. And then those other groups that happen to live. That's where I go eat together. We shop together. We work together. Mm-hmm. And that's who you knew. And you might get news from faraway places, but community was there. But now we are so mobile. We find community in probably more specific and structured ways. And I couldn't help, as we were talking, but think about Seth Godin. Do you know Seth?
I know the name, but I don't know why. Like the name's familiar.
He's a well-known marketer. He's a marketing expert. Mm. And he is, I believe, the person who conceived of the concept of tribe and tribes. Mm. And that the most powerful marketing is to identify and target a tribe. Seth's idea of a tribe is the idea that in today's connected world, people naturally form communities based on shared interests, values, and beliefs. And so if you figure out what those are, or even better, if you can gravitate people to form communities that support what you're selling, you can do quite well, right? Because that sense of community is so powerful. Right. The fact that this approach to marketing exists says something about, one, how we form community, but two, how, of course, you can exploit that for profit, the American way.
Yes.
I bring it up only to say, I think we can all nod. We can talk about the table. And is that table a tribal table where we just gather with people where we have the same interests and values and beliefs? Or is it really a table that's bigger than that? Whose table is it? Is it God's table? That's a different thing, right, than if it's our table.
Absolutely.
Who gets to invite? Who sets the rules? It's a complicated thing. But I guess what I wanted to bring this marketing gibberish in for was to say, one, if we underestimate the power of community, we are being foolish. It is recognizably and notably powerful. But secondly, that power can be used for good, or it can be abused or manipulated. And so I think part of the question maybe we ought to be asking, and maybe the psalm helps us to ask, is what is the kind of authentic community that God is calling us to form and be together? How do we center ourselves not on our shared interests and values, so to speak, but instead center ourselves on God? And what does that look like?
Let me say that as pastor of a local church community, that question is more important now than it has ever been for me.
Yeah.
As we are entering 2024, which will probably be the most caustic presidential season. And if we think that won't enter the churches, we are laughably naive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we need to find what is our center. And do we gather around, I speak for my congregation, do we gather around theological orthodoxy? Not really. Do we gather around politics? Ha, that's rich.
Yeah.
We gather around Christ. And what does Christ ask of us? In as much as you served the least of these members of my family, you've served me. When we serve the poor, when we serve those who are abused, when we love those whom the society and even church has deemed unlovable, we are loving Christ. That is our call. That is what we gather around. That is, I think, our key to community. It doesn't mean we turn a blind eye to politics and other things. It does mean we remember what holds us together and who calls us together.
Right. That's going to be so important this year, because there are going to be millions and millions of dollars poured into telling us which tribe we need to choose. And that tribe defines us. And I think you're right, Daniel. One of the most important things congregations can do in this age is be very clear that it is not those tribes that we are defined by.
And again, it doesn't mean national politics are unimportant, because who occupies the White House and Congress, those are very important, and they have very important consequences for lots of people. But I also realize that, oh gosh, David, you may want to cut all this out.
Oh, give it all.
But keeping us at each other's throat is a good business model for the media.
Yes.
Billions of dollars are made keeping us at each other's throats. And that is a fact. That is not Daniel Glaze's opinion.
That is a fact.
It is a fact.
And there are forces at work keeping us upset at one another.
Mm-hmm.
And these forces will enter our communities, or are trying to enter our communities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a difficult 2024. We
pray for your pastors.
Oh, mm-hmm. Lord. Yeah. Yes. And let's pray for ourselves and
together.
Let's remember why we gather and the beauty of our gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's naive to say, let's model a different way. Let's concentrate more on what is good for this community rather than what is good for ourselves. Let's talk about what good our community can do in the larger community rather than just what's good for me, myself, I, or even our own little church. I think there's so much. I do think in the midst of all that, the doom and gloom that may be on the horizon, I think there are some incredible opportunities for people of faith and people of goodwill and communities of goodwill modeling a better way.
There are good things we can do.
Mm, and that you can be in community with someone that you disagree with. I think that's you can hold, like we have families that we're with that, yeah, I'm not talking about toxicity and things like that, but I don't agree with everything that my brother thinks and he doesn't agree with everything I think, but we are still family. And I think when we boil it down, churches are our families in a lot of ways. Our communities of faith are families. And being able to say, you're my brother and sister or sister in Christ, and I'd agree with you on everything, but I love you. And so I'm willing to be in community with you. Let's work this together. Let's do this together. I think that's so important with what we face, like you said, Daniel, in our world now, and especially in this year.
This makes me think of a story. I don't know, maybe y'all will see the same connections that I see. I think it's more about how we behave. My dad told this story about a church that he served. And I think this was, I must have been very little because I don't remember it. I only remember him telling the story in a sermon. So he was at a church and the church was beginning to have the conversation about whether or not to move from their downtown location into the outer suburbs for the purposes of growth because people were no longer coming downtown to go to church. And most of the congregation was on the side of moving, but there was a deacon who thought very strongly that they should remain where they are and spoke up loudly and strongly in committee meetings about this. Was just, he felt very ornery to everybody else because he was so strongly against moving. The time came to make the final vote about whether they would move, and as predicted, the church voted to move. And then my dad said that deacon, who had been so against moving, chaired the committee to make the move happen and was the strongest supporter and participant of making the move. And I wish that is how we learned to do church, that we fought strongly for the things that we believe in and that we have vivid, exciting, passionate conversations about the things that matter. Because that was an important conversation for that church to have. It was more implications in that conversation than what their address was going to be.
Yeah.
And at church or politics, we're talking about important things. But at some point, we have to make a decision and we have to get on board and go. And once a decision by a community has been made, to get in the way of that is antithetical to what it means to be in community. When the community makes a decision, you support them and go with them, that we can speak passionately about the things that matter, because I don't really know how to do anything else other than that. But that as church, we can do that together and we can still love each other and move forward in unity, even if there were disagreements on the way to get there.
And Nikki, I think in that story, we hear the value that person had in others. Ultimately, yes. They cared about their position, but they cared more about those who they were in community with.
Yes, absolutely. I think, absolutely.
Boy, that's a wonderful reminder to us to how simple in some ways this call to community is. It is the call to value others.
And humility is what helps make that happen. That man had to have so much humility to move into that space.
Humility. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. And let them offer thanksgiving sacrifices and tell of his deeds with songs of joy. What a powerful psalm. I hope your groups can help us together figure out this so powerful and important thing of community. I hope y'all find it. Thank you for this good conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Learn more about our Faith Element Bible study curriculum at faithelement.net. Faith Element is a service of Faith Lab.